Egzamin maturalny z języka angielskiego. Poziom rozszerzony. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie teksty do zadań od pierwszego do trzeciego. Przed wysłuchaniem każdego tekstu usłyszysz dźwięk. W nagraniu przewidziane są przerwy na zapoznanie się z poleceniami oraz treścią zadań sygnalizowane dźwiękiem. Rozwiązuj poszczególne zadania w trakcie słuchania nagrań oraz w czasie przerw po ich wysłuchaniu. Zadanie pierwsze. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
One. A new project aims to remove trash from rivers by creating a remote-controlled floating garbage collector called Trash Robot. The machine can be managed via a web browser and will soon be tested on the Chicago River. Potentially, anyone can do their bit to clean up the river anywhere in the world. The project intends to transform waste collecting into a game. Players will take turns to control the machine, which has onboard cameras, so that they can see where it's going. The machine will be funded via donations.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
One. A new project aims to remove trash from rivers by creating a remote-controlled floating garbage collector called Trash Robot. The machine can be managed via a web browser and will soon be tested on the Chicago River. Potentially, anyone can do their bit to clean up the river anywhere in the world. The project intends to transform waste collecting into a game. Players will take turns to control the machine, which has onboard cameras, so that they can see where it's going. The machine will be funded via donations. Two.
Jack, do you know what happened to me yesterday? I went to the woods to pick some mushrooms. I'd been picking them for some time when a ranger appeared and fined me £80. Can you believe it? I'd picked mushrooms for 20 years in my home country, and I never imagined it could be an offence.
Where did it happen?
In Epping Forest.
Well, Epping Forest is a protected area, and as such, it has many rules about things you can and can't do there. And picking mushrooms is one of the activities for which you might get a fine.
But it's ridiculous that picking mushrooms is against the law. I just wanted to make delicious pasta for lunch and some pickles for winter. Why would that be forbidden?
Well, unfortunately in England, you are not allowed to pick mushrooms wherever you want. And if you do, you risk getting a fine.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
2.
Jack, do you know what happened to me yesterday? I went to the woods to pick some mushrooms. I'd been picking them for some time when a ranger appeared and fined me £80. Can you believe it? I'd picked mushrooms for 20 years in my home country, and I never imagined it could be an offence.
Where did it happen?
In Epping Forest.
Well, Epping Forest is a protected area, and as such, it has many rules about things you can and can't do there. And picking mushrooms is one of the activities for which you might get a fine.
But it's ridiculous that picking mushrooms is against the law. I just wanted to make delicious pasta for lunch and some pickles for winter. Why would that be forbidden?
Well, unfortunately in England, you are not allowed to pick mushrooms wherever you want. And if you do, you risk getting a fine. Three.
Why don't you ever listen to a word I say? It's just too much. After all, I didn't have all this tech you're surrounded with when I was growing up, and still, without text messages, mobile phones, emails and other digital stuff, I always found a way to tell my parents when I'd be home. If you're texting friends all the time, you must also find time to let me know where you are. That's the minimum I ask for.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
3.
Why don't you ever listen to a word I say? It's just too much. After all, I didn't have all this tech you're surrounded with when I was growing up, and still, without text messages, mobile phones, emails and other digital stuff, I always found a way to tell my parents when I'd be home. If you're texting friends all the time, you must also find time to let me know where you are. That's the minimum I ask for.
Zadanie drugie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
Speaker 1.
I felt fully prepared for my first job interview. I was enthusiastically replying to the interviewer's questions and everything was going well. But after 45 minutes, I suddenly realised that because I'd been sitting in the same position for so long, I had lost all feeling in my left foot. Thankfully, the meeting was coming to an end. 5 minutes later, the interviewer offered me the job and I was really happy. However, when I stood up to say goodbye and shake her hand, I put some weight onto my left foot, lost my balance, and collapsed onto the floor. The woman wanted to call an ambulance, but after a while I was able to walk again. I apologized and walked out of the room as gracefully as possible.
Speaker 2. When I arrived for the interview, I was told to go into an office and fill in an application. I was supposed to sit at a desk and wait for the interviewer. I don't know why, but I decided to sit down in the big chair behind the desk. Much to my horror, when the interviewer entered, he had to sit on the little chair in front of the desk. He seemed irritated and hesitated about what to do, but he took the seat and started to ask me questions. I was so embarrassed that I couldn't concentrate at all, but somehow, after a while, I managed to calm down, and the interview went quite well. Speaker 3.
My interview was going smoothly, but at one point the ring on my finger got caught in my necklace. I couldn't move my hand away, but I decided to pretend everything was fine. I normally make lots of gestures, but now I had to sit through the whole interview with my hand glued to my neck. It was a bit of a nuisance, but I made it to the end successfully. But then one of the interviewers decided to shake my hand to say goodbye, and I had to tell them what had happened. The interviewers offered to free my finger, which was really embarrassing.
Speaker 4. I had an interview for an administrative position at an IT company. Besides being asked routine questions, I had to demonstrate I could meet the company's typing speed requirements. I sat at the office computer. The interviewer stood next to me and told me to right-click to open a new file. Obviously, he meant that I should press the right button of the mouse in order to open a file. I can't say why, but I thought that when he said right-click, he meant I should type the word click. So that's what I did in the notepad window that was open. The man burst out laughing, but at the end he told me I'd got the job.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Speaker 1.
I felt fully prepared for my first job interview. I was enthusiastically replying to the interviewer's questions and everything was going well. But after 45 minutes, I suddenly realized that because I'd been sitting in the same position for so long, I had lost all feeling in my left foot. Thankfully, the meeting was coming to an end. 5 minutes later, the interviewer offered me the job and I was really happy. However, when I stood up to say goodbye and shake her hand, I put some weight onto my left foot, lost my balance and collapsed onto the floor. The woman wanted to call an ambulance, but after a while I was able to walk again. I apologized and walked out of the room as gracefully as possible.
Speaker 2. When I arrived for the interview, I was told to go into an office and fill in an application. I was supposed to sit at a desk and wait for the interviewer. I don't know why, but I decided to sit down in the big chair behind the desk. Much to my horror, when the interviewer entered, he had to sit on the little chair in front of the desk. He seemed irritated and hesitated about what to do, but he took the seat and started to ask me questions. I was so embarrassed that I couldn't concentrate at all, but somehow, after a while, I managed to calm down, and the interview went quite well. Speaker 3.
My interview was going smoothly, but at one point the ring on my finger got caught in my necklace. I couldn't move my hand away, but I decided to pretend everything was fine. I normally make lots of gestures, but now I had to sit through the whole interview with my hand glued to my neck. It was a bit of a nuisance, but I made it to the end successfully. But then one of the interviewers decided to shake my hand to say goodbye, and I had to tell them what had happened. The interviewers offered to free my finger, which was really embarrassing.
Speaker 4. I had an interview for an administrative position at an IT company. Besides being asked routine questions, I had to demonstrate I could meet the company's typing speed requirements. I sat at the office computer. The interviewer stood next to me and told me to right-click to open a new file. Obviously, he meant that I should press the right button of the mouse in order to open a file. I can't say why, but I thought that when he said right-click, he meant I should type the word click. So that's what I did in the notepad window that was open. The man burst out laughing, but at the end he told me I'd got the job.
Zadanie trzecie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
David, some young players these days seem to think they've achieved success as soon as they start playing in the first team. Was that the case with you?
Well, I wouldn't say so. I've achieved a lot as a footballer, but there has never been a moment when I'd sit back and think, I've made it. I was brought up to believe that until you retire, you don't look back. I just stayed focused to advance my career. I've noticed that many young players today feel the same. I'm glad that so many of them try hard, because it can help them get to the very top, just like it helped me.
You gave your football fans some unforgettable moments, like your legendary shot from the halfway line.
It was one of the decisive moments in my career. I still remember the goalkeeper's astonishment and that friendly buzz of the crowd. Even today I'm thrilled when I watch the film one of my fans made of the kick. The ball is in the air, and in the crowd I can see my mum, my dad and my sister watching excitedly as the ball drops towards the goal. I was so happy that they were in the stadium and could see it live. Sharing this moment with them was the best. It really made my day.
Although you no longer play professionally, the tabloids love you. What's the weirdest story you've read about yourself?
There's a different one every morning, and most of them are pure fiction. One of the tabloids said I was living in London and travelling up to Manchester every day when I was playing there. Another one wrote that I buy diamonds after every match. But when I read that I used to stay in different hotels than the rest of the English team, I couldn't stop laughing. It was complete nonsense. Surprisingly, they didn't write much about the penalty kick I took against Portugal and missed.
There is some controversy over the money footballers get. Should players get a bonus of £300,000 for winning the World Cup?
For a start, I didn't get £300,000. I got a lot less. But it has to be remembered that there is money in football, and professional players are paid high salaries everywhere in the world, no matter if they win or lose. Before the Cup, I was involved in the bonus negotiations, because I was the captain and obviously we wanted the bonus to be as high as possible. Who wouldn't? But that was not the most important thing for the players. Representing your country at the World Cup is the ambition of every football player, so the chance to make history is a much more powerful incentive than the money offered.
I see. And the last question. Can you tell us how you feel about being retired? What are your plans for the future?
I spend a lot of time in my soccer academy, so I really don't feel that I've retired. And for me, retiring is part of our lives, so I've never worried about it. I'm sure that when I'm no longer involved in football, another interesting chapter of my life will begin. And as for plans, I rarely make them.
Thank you.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
David, some young players these days seem to think they've achieved success as soon as they start playing in the first team. Was that the case with you?
Well, I wouldn't say so. I've achieved a lot as a footballer, but there has never been a moment when I'd sit back and think, I've made it. I was brought up to believe that until you retire, you don't look back. I just stayed focused to advance my career. I've noticed that many young players today feel the same. I'm glad that so many of them try hard, because it can help them get to the very top, just like it helped me.
You gave your football fans some unforgettable moments, like your legendary shot from the halfway line.
It was one of the decisive moments in my career. I still remember the goalkeeper's astonishment and that friendly buzz of the crowd. Even today, I'm thrilled when I watch the film one of my fans made of the kick. The ball is in the air, and in the crowd I can see my mum, my dad and my sister watching excitedly as the ball drops towards the goal. I was so happy that they were in the stadium and could see it live. Sharing this moment with them was the best. It really made my day.
Although you no longer play professionally, the tabloids love you. What's the weirdest story you've read about yourself?
There's a different one every morning, and most of them are pure fiction. One of the tabloids said I was living in London and travelling up to Manchester every day when I was playing there. Another one wrote that I buy diamonds after every match. But when I read that I used to stay in different hotels than the rest of the English team, I couldn't stop laughing. It was complete nonsense. Surprisingly, they didn't write much about the penalty kick I took against Portugal and missed.
There is some controversy over the money footballers get. Should players get a bonus of £300,000 for winning the World Cup?
For a start, I didn't get £300,000. I got a lot less. But it has to be remembered that there is money in football, and professional players are paid high salaries everywhere in the world, no matter if they win or lose. Before the Cup, I was involved in the bonus negotiations, because I was the captain and obviously we wanted the bonus to be as high as possible. Who wouldn't? But that was not the most important thing for the players. Representing your country at the World Cup is the ambition of every football player, so the chance to make history is a much more powerful incentive than the money offered.
I see. And the last question. Can you tell us how you feel about being retired? What are your plans for the future?
I spend a lot of time in my soccer academy, so I really don't feel that I've retired. And for me, retiring is part of our lives, so I've never worried about it. I'm sure that when I'm no longer involved in football, another interesting chapter of my life will begin. And as for plans, I rarely make them.
Thank you.
Czas przeznaczony na tę część egzaminu minął.